because every pet deserves a lifetime of love. Visit loveloss.org and register today.
Are you over 50 and constantly feeling tired, bloated, or just a little off? Don't ignore it. Those could be signs that your liver is crying for help. As we age, our liver, which is essential for metabolism, digestion, immunity, and detoxification, needs extra support and protection. If neglected, it can leave you feeling sluggish and constantly off your game. That's where Active Liver from New Nordic comes in. Available in easy-to-take tablets or delicious gummies, Active Liver combines powerful natural ingredients like turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke. Artichoke extract to help support healthy liver function. With Active Liver, you're giving your body an essential daily defense against toxins from alcohol, fatty foods, and sweets, helping you reclaim your energy, improve digestion, lose the bloat, and strengthen your immunity so you can look and feel your best again. Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Minnesota, suspected shooter Vance Bolter making his first appearance in court after his arrest. He's facing state and federal charges, including murder and attempted murder for the deaths of state lawmaker and her husband and wounding a state senator and his wife Saturday. Hennepin County District Attorney Mary Moriarty.
We are at early stages. We will be reviewing all of the evidence from law enforcement as it comes in and working with our law enforcement partners to develop the case. I do want people to know that given the scale of this investigation, the review of evidence will take time.
Federal prosecutors say Bolter allegedly stalked lawmakers and had a target list that crossed state lines. Israel says it has full control of Tehran's airspace and strikes today, shutting down Iran's state media. Iran also launching more missiles toward northern Israel. On Wall Street, stocks are on a rally after oil prices ended lower despite the escalation in the Middle East. This is ABC News. In Los Angeles, after a week of demonstrations over immigration raids and rising tensions and clashes on Saturday night, the LAPD says they've hit a milestone, making no arrests last night.
Protests have been rocking Southern California for over a week, with Saturday ending in another night of violence. But Sunday was calm around L.A., and the LAPD says no arrests were made related to protests. That is a first in about a week. Overall, since June 7th, the LAPD has made 575 arrests related to protests, and 10 LAPD officers have been injured. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Prosecutors in the sex trafficking and racketeering trial of Sean Diddy Combs in New York are expected to wrap up their case as soon as Wednesday. Combs' defense team says it expects to present its own case, saying they will have witness testifying beginning on Friday. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The Peace Lily is so last year.
Hey, has anyone worked with Fiddlenecks?
Shelby's popular flower shop is in full bloom.
We just got a request for an arrangement that evokes air. Who's up for that challenge? No?
She needs to hire a floral designer to nip foliage faux pas in the bud.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our advanced matching helps find talented candidates so you can connect with them fast. Redeem your $75 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Aylin. Madison saw Wisconsin's largest No Kings protest over the weekend.
An estimated 15,000 people gathered on Library Mall Saturday afternoon before walking a mile to the state capitol. Numbers similar to April's hands-off march that followed the same route. Speakers included U.S. Senator Reverend Raphael Warnock of Georgia in person, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders addressing the crowd over the phone. Three people were arrested by Capitol Police for spray painting the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Memorial. A State Street building was also spray painted in what was otherwise a peaceful day of protest against President Donald Trump and his policies. In Madison, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The theme of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin convention in the Dells over the weekend was the road to 2026. Governor Tony Evers urged delegates to keep that focus.
We organize from our kitchen tables to our communities. We fight back, and we never stop fighting for what's right. Winning 2026 starts now.
Evers has yet to announce whether he'll seek a third term next year. That's a decision he said he'll reveal once work is finished on the next state budget. Sunday, delegates elected former executive director Devin Remicker party chair following his endorsement by outgoing chair Ben Wickler. Governor Evers and lawmakers denounced a pair of politically motivated shootings in neighboring Minnesota. Evers posted to social media Saturday calling the attack tragic and saying he's praying for the lawmakers affected by the shooting. A joint statement by legislative leaders of both parties denounced the shootings and called for the swift apprehension of the shooter, who was taken into custody late Sunday night. The shooting claimed the lives of former Minnesota Democratic House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy, with highs making it to the mid-80s. Showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some of them early this evening could be strong to severe, packing the potential for hail, high winds, and a tornado is possible, too. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 79.
Produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome into a new episode of AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you along for the conversation. Appreciate you joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk biofuels. Of course, we had the EPA announcement on Friday with their RVOs and the RFS for 2026 and 2027. We're going to talk about that and also discuss some of the eminent domain issues surrounding carbon pipelines that would affect the ethanol industry happening in the state of Iowa. Monty Shaw with the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association will join us in segment three. In segment four of today's show, we're going to get a preview of this week's RCAF USA National Convention happening in Deadwood, South Dakota. Their president, Dave Hyde, will join us. Before all that, we'll take a look at the weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. He'll join us coming up here in just a little bit for a look at forecast here as we work through the middle of June. Helping us get things started today on AOA, Chip Nellinger with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. Chip, it's good to hear from you again. How's things in central Illinois?
Well, they're moving right along. If we could get some of this Canadian smoke cleared out of here, we have had a really nice spring and early part of summer here, and crops look pretty good for what we faced early on. Maybe a little bit behind due to some of the cool wet weather we had initially at planting, but things look really good right now. Could probably use a little bit of a rain, honestly. It hasn't been too terribly hot, but overall things look pretty good for mid-June right now in central Illinois.
Well, and I was going to say, you look at the weather and in most areas, and I know some folks have had a tough go, southern Midwest, the Delta, et cetera, a lot of rain. But for many folks, they've had a pretty optimal spring, it sounds like. And really, the weather across the markets is just not a bullish factor at all right now, Chip.
It's really not. And typically, this is the time of year that we would be seeing a weather premium put into the corn market a little bit and, maybe prices pushing into some highs instead of lows. But to your point, as you look at the radar right now, you've got some rains in the far northern plains, western corn belt. There's plenty of rain in our local forecast here starting tomorrow afternoon and Wednesday. And so there's just nothing threatening, at least at this point of the game, as far as the crop conditions go. This afternoon's crop condition report expected to see steady at worst, possibly a 1% or 2% improvement. I'm not sure how you can improve 85% of the good to excellent in Iowa, but I suppose you could. You know, there's just no threat out there, to your point. Nothing imminently dangerous with heat or dry weather right now.
And it's being reflected with the corn market, just continues to kind of be stuck in neutral to even reverse a little bit here. Just can't find any momentum. Meantime, though, talking momentum, looks like some more follow-through in soybean oil here to start the week after Friday's EPA announcement, which by and large, Chip, was better than I think everyone anticipated when it comes to the RVOs and more.
Yeah, I think it at face value was the best that could have been expected. Certainly, well above you know, the most bearish expectations. Still have to kind of see what's going to come of this Senate bill as far as the you know, small refinery exemptions and the 45Z. That might you know, take a little bit of the shine off of it. But boy, it was a good start. Let's put it that way. Even though we have to work backwards just a little bit, give up a little bit to some of the exemptions. On paper, it is wildly strong and good demand from the soy oil standpoint. And I think the important thing to note here is we're, you know, that the shock that moved through last week with a limit up in soy oil, we have expanded limits today. Even with crude oil now $7 off of its highs, the soy oil market's holding up. So it's showing you that it's standing on its own due to that announcement from the EPA.
Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, joining us on AOA. You mentioned crude oil, and that's the other big headline in these markets right now is the Israel-Iran conflict that continued throughout the weekend, continued its escalation. By and large, though, Chip, it feels like that this is mainly an outside market-moving type of issue, stocks, crude oil, et cetera. It doesn't feel like it's had a ton of impact in the grain and livestock trade, I guess.
It hasn't yet. I think maybe Friday it caused some of that sell-off in the cattle market. We're bouncing those outside or the you know, livestock markets today. But I think you're right. And, you know, I think maybe sometimes markets get it wrong. Right now the crude oil market and the energy markets are telling you that they don't have a tremendous amount of fear that you're going to disrupt, you know, oil flow out of the Straits of Hormuz or maybe see some massive escalation in this conflict between Israel and Iran. I don't know. I mean, they're sure talking tough and, you know, acting tough right now. So, you know, I think you got to take that with a grain of salt. But right now, certainly the crude oil market tells you that it shouldn't be a long-term issue. And maybe something is close at hand imminently with some sort of a ceasefire, at least a de-escalation in that region. But we'll see. If they're wrong and crude oil goes screaming higher and pushes up north of 80, I think maybe you can get an argument that maybe starts becoming a little more supportive to the corn market. But right now, the corn market seems to be shrugging off any of these, you know, higher energy prices of the last week or 10 days.
You mentioned cattle, and again, getting some good strength to start the week here. I wonder, though, some folks have been whispering this cattle market could be getting tired finally at some of these levels. But you know, I chuckle because that's been said, I don't know how many times now, and yet we just continue to find our way higher and higher in this cattle complex.
Exactly. One of these times, it will. And, you know, the funds have a massive long position built up. They've been right for, I don't know, the better part of 3 years. They've been along the cattle market and making good money at it. I think the issue here is that until the cash market breaks, you're not going to be able to withstand any or sustain any big break. And even though we saw some of that outside market influence and some fears over the weekend cause that break in cattle on Friday, you sit here and you're looking at the June contract, which has 2 weeks left to go. You know, sitting there still, I don't know, $12, $14 under where the cash market is. And the August feeder contract now probably with $3 higher today, maybe $16, $17 below where the feeder index is. So until you see big movements there, I don't think cattle, feeders or live cattle, can sustain much of a break right now.
Final 45 seconds, Chip. Anything you would add or reiterate risk management-wise, et cetera, as we look at these markets starting the week?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get pretty depressed about corn prices, wheat prices right now. I would tell you, though, we still have a long ways to go. I mean, conditions are good right now, but this massive crop is not in the bin. So I wouldn't get too carried away. Don't get emotional about things. Understand where your crop insurance kicks in on the downside as well, and that might give you a little bit easier sleep at night with these tumbling markets in corn.
Chip, if folks want to reach out to you for a conversation there at Blue Reef Agri Marketing, what's the best way?
Yeah, best way is just call our main office here in Morton. It's 309-550-7213.
Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri Marketing. Always good to hear from you, Chip. Thanks for joining us again on Agriculture of America. And we'll wish you a great week, and we'll look forward to catching up again real soon. Appreciate the time.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
Chip Nellinger, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, with us here on AOA. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at that weather forecast. As we mentioned a little bit, seeing some showers work through parts of the country early in the week. John Baranek, DTN meteorologist, joins us next here on AOA.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-337-8179. That's 800-337-8179. 800-337-8179. Call now.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Pollinators and beneficial insects like bees, butterflies, bats, and beetles are crucial for ensuring healthy, biodiverse ecosystems and crops for a sustainable food supply. June 16th through 22nd is National Pollinator Week, a time to recognize the essential role these species play. Protecting pollinators means protecting the future of agriculture and our environment. You can explore how to support pollinators at www.biodiversitystewardship.org, provided by Syngenta.
Discover all the ways to enjoy the wholesome products that start with the goodness of milk. For breakfast, try some cottage cheese topped with fruit. Or a big helping of yogurt in your favorite flavor. Dairy products not only taste good, but they're good for you. They supply protein to help get your day off to a great start.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work throughout the year. This June Dairy Month salute is brought to you by Conroe Sales and Service, your Bobcat and Gravely dealer, Durand and Whitehall.
Looking for a new skid steer loader, compact track loader, or UTV? Take the challenge. Go head-to-head against other brands, comparing quality, comfort, or performance. Bobcat machines are the best in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Visit BobcatAdvantage.com or visit us in person at Comroe Sales and Service, your authorized Bobcat dealer in Durand. Call us today, 715-672-4263, to learn more.
As we continue here on AOA, let's take a look at that weather forecast for the week ahead. For the most part, the weather has been relatively favorable for many areas of the Corn Belt. Some have still struggled with a lot of rainfall, though, and that is of concern. Where do things stand mid-June? DTN meteorologist John Baranek is back with us here this week on AOA. John, it's good to catch up with you again. How are things?
Yeah, great to be back with you too after a week off. I know we've both had a couple of weeks off here, so it's great to be back together. But in the time that we've been away, at least, you know, bypassing each other here, it's been pretty wet. You know, for a lot of areas, that's good news. But for areas that you mentioned, you know, you get from the Ohio River southward, even southern Kansas and especially Oklahoma southward, it's been too wet. And, you know, we follow some people here at DTN across the South with one of our series called View from the Cab. And the guy's in northern Alabama, and he's been having just a heck of a time just trying to dry out. And you know, it kind of exemplifies everything that's kind of going on down there for the southern half of the country right now. It's just been too wet.
Well, and thinking about that, it just seems like that's how the weather pattern has set up here this spring and into the early summer, is that the South just remains too wet, continues to see various storm complexes work their way through. And then, like, to your point, you mentioned parts of the North have gotten some timely rains here in recent weeks. And I guess when you look at this weather pattern as a whole here, mid-June, John, are we seeing any changes whatsoever to what we've been watching for several weeks now?
Slight. And that's a slight change. Just, you know, the active weather that has occurred from the South is starting to move its way northward. And that's a kind of a good sign for both kind of halves of the country. But it's kind of a slow process here. So, I mean, we've still got a bunch of rain that's yet to go through the South. And you know, when we kind of turn things around, we usually get these big ridges of high pressure to move over, draws up a bunch of moisture from the Gulf. And that just leads to a lot more rainfall anyway. So, just spottier at that point when it does, but we've still got a lot of rain to get through here at least this week. Just we've so many little disturbances moving through. It's not these big giant storm systems that sweep across the country anymore. Once we get into this part of the summertime, it's a lot of these little subtle things that come with clusters of thunderstorms, you know, some, you know, regional areas of heavier rain. But, you know, with so many of them just continuing to just move through the country here this week, it's really hard for anybody to truly dry out. But we mentioned, it's good news for the northern half. I mean, there's some areas there in eastern Nebraska, northern Kansas, southern Iowa, northern Illinois that kind of missed out on a lot of this. So while the weather pattern's been getting more active across the north, and that's been good for the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, you know, there's been some areas in there that just haven't had it yet. But we've got multiple chances here this week. A really good one here today across the upper Midwest. We'll be looking at some severe weather and getting into Nebraska later today as well. But multiple chances here this week. So good news for those across the north that either need the rain or are okay with getting it. But not so much for those across the south. Now, the southwestern plains where we see a lot of that winter wheat, some of the areas that have gotten a lot of rain over the last several weeks are starting to dry out. And that's going to be kind of gradual. We're not going to completely shut off the spigot here. We're still going to see some isolated showers from, you know, western Kansas southward through west Texas. But we're starting to see that kind of drier trend that usually pops up during the summer start happening, and should accelerate it once we get into July, I think.
Well, and to your point, looking at the pockets of weather here early this week, and some of those areas, severe weather potential and some heavier rain, but, you know, largely areas of the northwestern Corn Belt, the upper Midwest, into the northern plains, Nebraska, you mentioned, have seen some much needed rainfall. And it's just, I guess, if anything, in those areas, building some soil moisture here as we move towards July. And, you know, there's still some talk out there about maybe drought potential later this summer in those areas, John.
Yeah, so as long as we can continue this active pattern here for those across the northern half, or really the vast majority of the Corn Belt, honestly, it's just those in the far south that are having the trouble. But, you know, as long as we can keep this active weather pattern going as long as we can, now, that's good news for most folks. So, I mean, the weather pattern is favorable for building soil moisture, keeping soil moisture from getting too dry. I mean, this is the time of year where we start to get a little concerned, the back half of June and getting into July. Okay, we're going to have enough moisture there for pollination once that starts happening mid-July. Most part here, I think we're in a good position. Now, of course, there's going to be there's areas that, you know, are too dry and just kind of missed out. You take the whole picture as a whole, and we're still in some good favorable weather here, at least for the time being. That, you know, hot and dry forecast that we've been talking about for, geez, Jesse, it's been, I think going back to last year, we were starting to be concerned about it, mm-hmm. Just keeps getting pushed off. As long as we can keep pushing that off, I think the better it's going to be for a lot of us. But it's still looming around the corner. That forecast is still there. It's just getting pushed off. And then we'll just have to see, do we have the amount of moisture we need there once it does switch?
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, how about up into the Canadian prairies? I know we've had all the issues with the wildfire smoke and more. How are things looking there? Is that going to continue? Are we going to get some rain to help out with those fires that have continued in various pockets, et cetera, et cetera?
It was interesting because the spring started out really great for them, and then it just dried out. And things started to get pretty warm and drought really crept in, especially in those wooded areas in northern Saskatchewan and Manitoba. And that's why they had all the wildfires. Since then, over the last couple of weeks, it's been okay. It's been mostly spotty showers. Alberta and western Saskatchewan got some good rainfall over the weekend, but for areas farther east are still pretty dry and need some rainfall. But like the northern U.S. here this week, the Canadian prairies have a bunch of chances for rainfall as well. So that's good news for a lot of folks up there. A lot of wheat producers up there, a lot of canola producers up there. So it'll be good to get some rainfall in there, but also for those wooded areas for the wildfires to keep those down and keep those from spreading a bit. And there's always, lightning chances in areas that stay too dry that, could spark some more. But as long as we keep an active weather pattern going, and it looks like it will through next week at least, that they get some help north of the border as well.
All right, I'm going to go from Canada down to South America as we take a look at Brazil and Argentina. Safrida corn harvest happening. We're trying to get winter wheat established in areas. What's that forecast looking like down there this week?
Yeah, they had some rain actually in some of those southern Safrina corn areas in south central Brazil over the weekend. Not needed. It's maturing, and they're kind of near or ahead of schedule as temperatures have been rather warm down there, but there's been plenty of moisture supply. So the corn crop still looks pretty decent down there, and that the rainfall that happened over the weekend just hindering some of the maturation process, some of the early harvest that's going on down there. Farther south in the far southern states of Brazil and into northern Argentina, they're trying to get winter wheat established. Soil moisture there has been okay, but they need some more. They got some good rainfall over the weekend. It looks like several chances for rain here this week. So that's good news for them, I suppose. It's actually staying south of those Safrina corn areas for the most part. So allows them to dry out and possibly, continue on with harvest a bit. It's kind of a longer process down there. They'll go through the end of July and into August for that Safrina harvest. So they've got some time to dry out. It's not really a big concern if they get some rain now, but, it's not helpful, honestly, for them. So, but overall, I think things are going okay down there in South America.
Final 30 seconds, John. Anything else you're tracking here at home or around the world this week?
Yeah, it's kind of other things around the world right now as we stay kind of active at home. It's been drier in Europe, and they're going to get hot and dry this week across some of those western areas, especially this week. So that'll be interesting to see if that kind of leads things towards some poor conditions there, especially in France for some corn and wheat. And also the Black Sea region as well. Not only for wheat, which we normally think about there, but also with their corn crop. They've had some just spotty showers, and that's all they're going to get this week. Drought's been in place for almost a year and a half. So it's an area to watch for to see if they get what they need from their corn crop out there. And it's not looking so great so far.
Folks can go to DTNPF.com for more. Meteorologist John Baranek with DTN. Thanks for joining us on AOA this week, John, and have a great one. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
All right, up next, we'll talk with Monty Shaw from the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association right here on AOA.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number TC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Corteva Agriscience has launched a pioneer-specific biologicals offering called Nexta. Yield potential is highest before the seed goes into the ground, and Nexta solutions protect and preserve this yield potential season-long with the start-grow-finish approach. Using Nexta solutions, farmers can stress less and yield more. Learn more about how Nexta solutions can increase your crop yield. Call Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer dealer serving Durand. Visit them online at BauerSeedsAndService.com.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk down 15 to 17.98, August down 20 to 18.58, September down 6 to 19.03, October milk down 1 at 19.15. Meanwhile, triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets on the day as the trade is still very supportive of the markets and believing that the market's fundamentals will also remain supportive. Now, higher box beef prices also helped traders to move prices higher. Hog markets also had triple-digit gains as well. Strength in the pork cutout values and that good consumer demand supporting the market. June live cattle up $1.92 to $227.02. August feeder cattle up $3.80 to $310.22. July up $2.32 to $111.80. Chicago Board of Trade corn and wheat were mostly lower on the day. There were a few big stories, really, to help move markets higher, at least on corn and wheat. Now, some positive weather for the corn crop and for the wheat harvest helped to support the markets. Meanwhile, the strength in soybean oil prices were sharply higher due to that EPA RVO proposal, and that continued to help the soybean market. New crop corn down 8 to 435. New crop beans up 5 and 3 quarters to 1060 and a half. July wheat down 7 and a quarter.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op. Discover, taste, and celebrate Wisconsin dairy this Sunday during the 39th annual Buffalo County Dairy Breakfast at the Rotering Ridge Beef and Dairy in Cochrane from 7 to 11. There'll be pancakes, sausages, cheese curds, maple syrup ice cream, and of course, milk, music with Ron Ponchinski, kids events including face painting, a pedal tractor pull, and barrel train too. It's the Buffalo County Dairy Breakfast this Sunday from 7 to 11 at Rotering Ridge Beef and Dairy in Cochrane.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, right now, let's have a conversation about ethanol, renewable fuels. Plenty of news items that have been out there in recent days that we need to discuss. Joining us now for that conversation, he's the executive director of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, Monty Shaw. Monty, welcome back to AOA. And we were chuckling a little bit off air that you have had a fairly hectic couple of days stretch here, haven't you, Monty?
Yeah, the end of last week was a lot of news was made. Most, and for one of the few times, most of it was positive. You know, normally I get all these interviews when there's bad news out there. So it's kind of a nice change.
Very true. Well, let's start with the EPA news for RVOs, RFS stuff for 2026, 2027. And Monty, by and large, I think everyone in the industry was pleasantly surprised with the numbers that came out here in this draft from the EPA. Talk about this from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the times when they release a draft RVO, even when I've been assured by the EPA that, oh, you're going to love it, you're going to like it, I usually don't. So this was kind of, might have been the most positive response I've had to an RFS blending rule here in for as long as I can remember. So very strong numbers overall, you know, the implied 15 billion gallons for conventional, you know, on a gallon basis, looking at somewhere around 5.6 billion gallons for biomass-based diesel, which is a strong number, depends on some assumptions and things, but really a great place to start the discussion from. Now, there are certainly things we have to work through. They threw out a new kind of two-tiered RIN system between foreign and domestic feedstocks. And then, you know, the 500-pound gorilla in the corner is about 10 years of pending refinery exemption requests that the EPA has signaled they want to work through. So, you know, that could be something that's really detrimental, or it could be something that they handle in a way that doesn't hurt us at all. So that's something we'll be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned a couple of those points. And I like the way you set this up, is that it's a good starting point, but there's still some challenges that we're going to have to work through, as we don't know the allocation, reallocation of those SREs, for instance, and more. So it's, at the end of the day, it's a good starting position, but we still have a couple more pieces of the puzzle that have to be figured out here. Right, Monty?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to take anything away from how good the starting position is, right? So, you know, I do want to stress that we are very pleased with that. But, you know, there are, depending on which number you look at, 6 to 8 billion gallons worth of refinery exemption requests pending out there. You know, if you started with a 24 billion gallon, you know, blending requirement here, and then if you, and I don't think this will happen, let me be very clear, but worst case scenario is they grant those 6 to 8 billion gallon of refinery exemption SREs and not reallocate any of them. If that happened, you know, then you could, you know, basically throw this, you know, great rule out the door, mm-hmm. right? So they did indicate they wanted to pick up where the President Trump left off in his first administration, where there would be a 3-year rolling average factored into the RVOs for what we call reallocation. So if somebody gets an exemption, that volume doesn't disappear. It gets reallocated amongst the people who don't get exemptions. That's great. The trick here is that works year after year after year if you're kind of going. But, you know, we've got multiple years here that could possibly be granted. So how do you account for all of those SREs? You know, in our, what we've asked for is that every, you know, 15 needs to mean 15. If you remember those days, 4 and 5 and 6 years ago, you know, and the, you know, whether you want to look at just the ethanol number or the overall number, 24 needs to be 24. To have that, you have to reallocate each and every gallon of SREs that are granted. Or, you know, they have some other tools that they could use as well. But the bottom line is we don't want the net RFS blending levels to be reduced by these refinery exemptions. And so that'll be tricky for the EPA because there's such a big backlog. You know, we've shared some ideas with them on how they could accomplish that, but that is definitely something we'd like to see cleared up and clarified before this rule goes final, because then you know what the rule actually means.
We're talking with Monty Shaw from the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association. And Monty, of course, I just think about, you know, trying to find new demand for renewable fuels, ethanol, biodiesel, et cetera, so many different pieces of the puzzle here. And it's something you and I were discussing a little bit before we came back from the commercial break is year-round E15. That's one thing that we're still waiting to see if that is made permanent on Capitol Hill. And we've talked about how there's a few different vehicles to try and get this legislation through. But as of right now, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I mean, all the focus right now is on the, you know, is on the big, beautiful bill or whatever people call it, but, you know, the, what they can do through budget reconciliation. After that, you know, they should be working on some budget packages, and any one of those you could put it in. But they'll also, after the federal fiscal year flips over in September, they'll have an opportunity to do a second budget reconciliation bill. So we just have to make sure that as a lot of oxygen is sucked up by those things, that we don't forget year-round E15. You know, the last blending levels under the RFS were woefully inadequate for biomass-based diesel. It really hurt biodiesel. We have plants in Iowa that are still shut down. We're hoping that, you know, this done properly can get get those going again. But on the ethanol side, again, other than exports, you're kind of stuck in neutral with the E10 market, you know, more or less tapped out. To getting some new demand, if you know, with and the easy button right there is E15. Now, Speaker Johnson has told members of ours face to face, it will get done this year. Senator Thune has said it will get done this year. So there does seem to be bipartisan, bicameral support. But it's funny in Congress how even with that, sometimes things don't get done. So, you know, that has got to remain a very, very top priority. Yes, the blending levels are very important, but you have to have somewhere to blend them. And that's why we need Congress to act. And we're also asking the administration to allow E15 through all the E10 equipment. It was all tested on E15 to begin with. And we, you know, let's stop replacing perfectly good equipment due to technicalities when it's already compatible with E15. Those two actions, one by Congress, one by the administration, would really hit the gas pedal for E15. And I'd love to see both those done by the end of this year. That's our goal.
One other topic that I need to talk with you about is one that I know has been very controversial across the state of Iowa, and that's surrounding carbon capture and sequestration projects in the state. Governor Reynolds, just last week, vetoing House File 639 that has surrounded the issue of eminent domain. And I know that, again, there is argument on both sides of this issue. Where do you stand? What are your thoughts on the governor's veto, and where do we go from here, Monty?
You know, despite all the talk about eminent domain, that bill had almost nothing to do with eminent domain. It was basically a bill written, designed to kill carbon capture and sequestration projects, even those that were not using eminent domain. And that was actually the first thing the governor pointed out in her veto message and said for that reason alone, she should veto it. And we couldn't have agreed more. So we're deeply, deeply appreciative that Governor Reynolds read the bill, took the time to go through it, you know, because the rhetoric and the reality were not the same on this bill. Now, there are strong emotions on this issue. You know, I've dealt with it on the family farm I grew up with. You know, nobody likes it. But, you know, our founding fathers put eminent domain into the Constitution for a reason. And when you have these large multi-state projects, it's nearly impossible to work on those without some sort of mechanism. And all we've said is we want the same rules for these very important carbon capture projects as we have for other projects. You know, the electricity that goes to your home or business and you flip the switch and the lights come on, got there through a privately owned electricity transmission line that had eminent domain. When you heat your home with natural gas or you dry your crops with propane or natural gas, it got you through a pipeline that's privately owned and it has access to eminent domain. The same thing for the gas and the diesel that we put in our vehicles and our tractors and our combines. So we just want to be treated fairly. But it has been very difficult to have what I would call fact-based discussions on this. A lot of people have just kind of taken a very emotional position and everything else be damned. But corn growers are producing more corn than there's demand. The secret to unlocking demand around the world is produce ultra-low carbon ethanol. Some people think that's great. Some people think it's silly. I'm here to say I don't care. Put your politics aside. This is business. We have customers that want to buy tens and tens of billions of gallons of ultra-low carbon ethanol. Why wouldn't we take U.S. corn and turn it into ultra-low carbon ethanol using tools like CCS and meet these markets? Brazil is doing it. Quite frankly, I'm jealous because right next to me in Nebraska, they've got a CCS pipeline going forward. I don't want the Iowa plants left out. Quite frankly, I don't want any of the plants anywhere left out, because if we're going to have any way of reversing the income loss of farmers, it starts with growing demand for corn. And outside of E15, that's the first near-term, let's go get it market. But outside of E15, every other growth opportunity we have of any size is demanding ultra-low carbon ethanol. So I don't care whether you like carbon, the carbon debate, you don't like the carbon debate, take that hat off, take those political blinders off, and realize this: these are the markets that other, you know, the customer wants it. I don't have to care whether I think the customer is making the right decision or not. I just want to supply them the product they want and benefit American agriculture in the process.
Well, with that, we are up against the clock. We will have to leave the conversation there, but I know this is an issue that is not going to get solved tomorrow. So we'll have to stay close with you and stay on top of this issue as it moves forward. Folks can go to iowarfa.org for more information. Monty Shaw, Executive Director for the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association. Good to talk with you again, sir. Thanks for joining us on the show, and have a great week. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Monty Shaw with the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association joining us here on Agriculture of America. Coming up next, we'll preview this week's RCAF USA convention in Deadwood, South Dakota, with their president, Dave Hyde. He joins us next on AOA.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that dairy farmers milk cows every day, usually two or three times per day? Before and after milking, the cow's udder is washed with a disinfectant solution, and the milking equipment is washed, rinsed, and sanitized between milkings to ensure quality milk. Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by the Pierce Pepin Co-op. Discover the power of your local Touchstone Energy Cooperative. Pierce Pepin Co-op, your source of power and information.
Our community, it's where we live, it's where we work, and as your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, we know our community isn't just important, it's everything, which is why we're grateful for your trust to provide the energy you need every day. Because for us, there's nothing more important than giving you the power to power on.
Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
UtterTech is celebrating June Dairy Month by donating 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries with every web order. Visit UtterTechInc.com and order your waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech working gear is ready to go for the next day. Visit UtterTechInc.com. Place your order, and UtterTech will donate 1 gallon of milk to area food pantries.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, and every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
America's Farmers and Ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Well, RCAF USA is having their national convention this week, Tuesday through Thursday in Deadwood, South Dakota. All In is what this year's convention is titled, and we're going to learn more about the speaker lineup and much more. Joining us for a conversation, president of RCAF USA, Dave Hyde from Ohio. Dave, it is great to talk with you, sir. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Getting a few raindrops here today, and looks like a good week for me to make it to Deadwood. Don't look like I'm going to make any hay.
Well, you know, hey, maybe that's the blessing is you're going to be shut down with the hay cutting for a couple of days. So it's, like you said, a good time to go to Deadwood, South Dakota for National Convention. And Dave, just looking at the agenda and some of the speakers that are on this lineup for this year, you guys have a wide range of speakers and a lot of great conversations look like they're going to happen this week for the RCAF National Convention. Can you give us some of the highlights to start?
Starting on Wednesday, Tuesday is basically our committees and affiliate council meetings where we talk with all of our affiliates throughout the United States. But on Wednesday morning, we open up with the annual prayer breakfast with Dr. Max Thornsberry. He's our veterinarian. And I'm going to tell you what, that is one of the best speakers I have ever heard. I love it more than some of the other speakers that we have there. Following him up, we're going to have the Barron's author. His name is Austin Frederick. Following him up, we're going to have The Truth About Tariffs with Brian O'Shaughnessy, the Senior Vice President of Reserves Copper Products. Later in the day, we're going to have Brad Scar, a PhD from Iowa State University, animal science professor. Then later on after that, we're going to have Shad Sullivan. I know a lot of people want to see Shad. He's got a great presentation. It's called The War on Beef. Following up Shad, we've got Professor Roger McGowan, and he's going to have a presentation there for us. He's out of Washburn University. Later in the afternoon, we're going to have the electronic ID litigation update. A lot of people probably don't realize that RCAF USA, we have sued the USDA over these mandatory EID rules, and we're going to get an update on that. Followed up on some beef checkoff litigation with David Maraskin. He's our lawyer. 6 p.m., we have Alex Newman, the journalist from Liberty Sentinel. I didn't know him until a few years ago when he talked at our convention, but I seem to follow him now on a few social platforms. Going into Thursday, we're going to have our CEO, Bill Bullard. He's going to, and our committee chairs are all going to give reports on what's going on. Tracy Hunt, he's a lawyer out of Wyoming. He's done a lot of work for us, and he's going to have a presentation. Then later on in that day, we're going to have Margaret Byfield. She has a great one. It's called Rolling Back the 3030 and Restoring Property Rights. After her, we're going to have a presentation by Charles and Heather Moss. And I'm sure everybody has heard that name by now. And I am really glad I met Heather last year at the Freedom Rally. And for a guy from Eastern Ohio that, you know, a lot of these people east of the Mississippi, they don't have a clue what's going on with the BLM and what's going on out there. And I think it brought it to light because there's been a lot of people around here that ask me questions like, what the heck is going on out there? Why can't they just get a surveyor and fix us like we do here? But it's going to be great to listen to them. After that, we're going to have Lonesome Report live broadcasting. A lot of people starting to follow Jim Mundorf and Shad Sullivan on their weekly podcast, and it's going to be recorded live. Later on in the day, we're going to have Senator Mike Rounds, and we're going to have a true patriot for the American cattle rancher, Representative Harriet Hagerman. And the keynote speaker, I hate to say this, but we were going to have Brooke Rollins, but she had to call last week, and there was some scheduling conflicts, and she's no longer going to be there, but we're working on filling that spot as we speak.
Well, a wide array of speakers and topics, Dave, and just thinking about this, I mean, talk about from your perspective all the issues and topics that get discussed during a convention like this one. As we both know, there is a lot going on in the cattle industry and across agriculture as a whole right now, Dave.
That's right. I mean, one of the hot button issues is back to the electronic ID. I mean, I get people calling me, texting me, emailing me every day, and they say, Dave, they say, if this thing goes through, I'm done. I am not tagging my cattle. And I gave a presentation to a local farm organization here in Ohio, and a guy jumped up on the other end of the table, and he says, looky here, Ohio just gave me these free tags. And I looked at him, and I says, did you have to give him your premise number to get them? Well, I've had a premise number for X number of years. Everybody in that room turned around and looked at me and said, what's a premise number? And I explained it to him, and then at that point, I had him. Nobody in that room wanted to get a premise number and be tied into any government programs at that point.
Well, and Dave, I know that has been such a hot topic issue for many years, and I know there's a few different arguments here. Some folks might talk about the animal health side of this and trying to stop the spread of certain diseases in the cattle industry, but I know, again, there's a lot of folks who just don't want to be tied up with this electronic ID issue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like I read an article the other day that says you may have the mandatory tag in the ear, but the requirements to have a wand, you know, how many sale barns do you know have a wand right now that are gearing up for this? They just put the tags in and send the cattle down the road. And right now it's only for, what, 18 months of age and older, sexually intact cattle, rodeo stock, club calves. But I see this being a very, very serious issue for the USDA. They're going to have to come out and they're going to have to rewrite some rules and let us use other forms of identification.
Well, it's going to be one of many issues talked about this week at the RCAF USA All-In National Convention at Deadwood, South Dakota. And I know folks can go to r-cafusa.com to learn more and could still attend. Dave, any final thoughts you'd have for us here on the show today?
No, other than the great lineup of speakers, I'm going to tell you what. When I first went out there, you know, I was kind of intimidated with all these guys, but it is one great event. Just, you know, the social atmosphere that you have around here, the people you meet all over the country. And, man, I got friends all across the United States now, and it's a great event.
Looking forward to it Tuesday through Thursday this week at the Lodge at Deadwood in Deadwood, South Dakota, RCAF USA's National Convention. With that, President Dave Hyde, thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you a little bit this week at the RCAF National Convention, Dave.
All right, thank you.
And with that, we're out of time here today on AOA. Coming up tomorrow, we'll hear from Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing. We'll talk ag news headlines with Chris Clayton from DTN. And we'll look at markets with Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk. For now, thanks for joining us on AOA. Have a great rest of your day.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his...
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Two lines of unlimited for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings compared to Verizon and AT&T. But don't just take our word for it.
It's not just the savings that are great with our T-Mobile plan. There's all this value from all these other things that T-Mobile offers.
T-Mobile has been such a savings for us.
We love it.
Switch today and get two free 5G phones like the Motorola Edge with turbo power charging that gives you power for the day in just 15 minutes. And customers 55 and up can get two lines of talk, text, and data for only $30 a line. Go to T-Mobile.com/55 to learn more.
24 monthly bill credits and two new lines with autopay for well-qualified customers plus taxes, fees, and $35 per line connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Contact us plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. 45% off two lines versus AT&T Starter and Verizon Welcome. Plan benefits vary. See details at T-Mobile.com. Motorola Edge requires 68-watt charger. Charger sold separately. Actual performance will vary based on usage and configuration.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the